Man is more frightening than Godzilla.
I mean, if it wasn't for man, there would be no Godzilla. He'd just be like some
dude. He would just be a fish underwater. Yeah.
He really would. One of those deep sea fangly fish, perhaps.
He legit looked like an angler fish
in
the first rendition, which I really appreciated. Because, like, yeah, it's a monster from the sea.
I'm glad you also appreciate it, because I have seen a lot of people just call him ugly and like, oh, this is...
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was...
I mean, it is.
Godzilla in this movie is ugly, but it's meant to be, because it's a monster, right?
Yeah.
It's not meant to be something cool. It's a fucking walking disaster.
There you go.
See? We're on the same page, it seems. Let's see how long it lasts. Welcome, folks, to the Spotapod. I am Jeffrey Excellence, and with me, as always...
It is the one and only...
Man Ophi. Of many names and faces.
Ophi the Big O.
The big kahuna. The Twinkle Toes. The last Chargers fan, as they would call it.
What? No. Hey. No, they all came out again because our rookie quarterback did really good. So he won Rookie of the Year. Or offensive
good for him.
Justin Herbert.
I thought you said he won Defensive Player of the Year. I was like, what? Did he throw that many safeties?
No, but he did pretty good. The future's looking pretty bright, and I was about to say San Diego, but
where's it now?
They're not. They're in L.A.
So today's a very special edition of the Spotter Pod. What is the occasion for today's recording?
Well I guess because on the 22nd, which I might be able to get it out on that day, it's my birthday. Turning a quarter century old, which makes it sound terrible.
American life expectancy is 75, you're actually a third of the way.
Oh,
there.
Don't say. Oh,
to put a further doom and gloom perspective on it.
I mean, my grandma's like 82, so you know, maybe I got some good genes there. I don't know. Hopefully. But then my family also has a history of
Levi's.
Cancer and high blood pressure,
diabetes. Oh, that's a very common Filipino thing, though.
So
you're not unique in that aspect, at least.
I mean, I'm okay so far from last time I checked, but you know, it's only gonna go downhill for me.
Hopefully not. But hey, what did we cover last week?
Last week was Mario by what's his name? The guy, the Naruto
Kishimoto,
guy.
The Naruto guy. Kishimoto. Yeah, exactly. He should just legally change his name to the Naruto guy.
He's still the Well, I guess he's the Boruto guy.
It's not. I remember when I think it might have been Crunchyroll, but they released an ad for Boruto and like, oh, watch Boruto's dad adventures in the archives as Naruto. And I was just thinking, wow, the audacity and disrespect.
That's like, I don't know.
That's like saying it's like you're advertising for the network and Charlotte Flair's on Raw or something. You're like, oh, you could check it. Her dad wrestled, I think. You could check it out on the network.
I mean, they do that. I mean, you know, it's plenty of generational talent.
60-time world champion, greatest of all time.
I mean, I
no big deal.
I mean, today's generation, like legit, like they know Charlotte more than Ric Flair did. You know, I don't see that they do. Like, I can guarantee you, like, you ask, like, more likely today's generation.
I'm a 5-year-old at a WWE show and be like, hey,
how dare you? How dare you?
You little piece of shit. Do you know
1990?
Who?
Yeah. Oh, no, he wasn't in that show. What are you talking about? No, of course.
1990? Yeah, no, that's when he was doing a stint up north, I think. But hey, no. There, you little shit. Did you see Flair for the gold? Did you see him take on Big Van Vader, you little fucking turd?
But you didn't. Therefore, I'm a better. I'm the superior.
I am a better person than you will ever be.
That's how that works. Because we are defined by what we like and what we do in our spare time.
What level and depth you enjoy it?
But yeah, Mario. It was a manga one shot. By Kishimoto.
Yeah, a very first of our spot. Very unique. It was a shorter edition, but I appreciated covering one-shot manga because I feel that's not very a common topic for content to be centered around.
Yeah, I think most people, when you think manga, you think of like the Shonen Jumps, you think of the long ass series. So
700 yeah. chapters.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I thought it was okay. It was whatever. Didn't think that much of it. I mean,
yeah. I enjoyed it. It showed an edge to Kishimoto's work as opposed to the orange jumpsuit motherfucker that shouts believe it a bunch, but.
Yeah.
I digress. So what'd you pick for your special birthday episode? Birthday spod, pal.
Well, I was thinking of just doing another movie. And either A.
Don't lie. You wanted to do Yu-Gi-Oh, you motherfucker.
Nah, I don't.
Oh, man. 52 episodes. 52 episodes to get ready. Oh,
although I'm not going to lie. I have been watching Digimon Savers. I'm like,
Oh, no. You know what? That's Savers, too.
I kind of like this show. I kind of like what's going on here. I'll say more. I like Savers so far more than the new adventure.
Really? Well, wow.
Just because.
I haven't watched a lot of the new adventure, but I don't remember enjoying Savers that much.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm an outlier then, because I'm really enjoying it so far.
Well, I don't know. Anyway. I'd have to rewatch it.
Okay. Well enough about.
Shine Greymon ruin mode.
Enough about.
His innocence
dinosaurs.
Is ruined.
Enough about stupid big dinosaurs that we're not covering.
He saw the folder with all the numbers in it.
God damn it. He opened the Angelomon folder.
Yeah, he opened Marcus's number for Marcus's his data squad name. I forget his Saver's name.
Daemon? Masaru? Masaru. Masaru. Yeah. But anyway, enough about that dinosaur. Who cares about Greymon? We're talking about Godzilla. Because I'm like, you know, I've heard great things about Shin Godzilla. We did cover, I think, the sequel to the American one. The one with Ghidorah in it. I don't remember. Did we do the...
King of Monsters?
No.
We did do King of Monsters.
No. The one before, the first one?
Oh, the original? No. When we saw that movie, that was before we even...
That was in like high school. So
had this podcast.
But then we got this other film that's actually made by Toho, the film company who originated Godzilla. And I'm like, yeah, why not? Let's see what they got for a modern day Godzilla. And that's basically Bianca did also, my sister did recommend this to me. And I, you know what?
Well, she also recommended what the fuck it was called. That shit. I actually forgot the name, which I'm okay with.
Okay, I won't mention it to you, just to save you. But I love how we watched this film.
It was first something thing. Signs.
I won't say. I'm not going to. Well, why don't you go find out or go listen to our episode before?
Good
Mario.
Plug. Good plug.
There you go.
Good plug.
But the first thing she says to me is, "So did I redeem myself?" And you know what?
This is significantly better than whatever that piece of shit was.
I picked Shin Godzilla because I do like me some tokusatsu. I will admit, I haven't watched that many Godzilla specifically films. It's basically like the new, I think it's called Legendary Pictures is who makes the new ones, who's gonna make the versus King Kong film.
Oh, they're making called. so they made this movie of Shin Godzilla and they're making
No, I'm talking about the.
Oh, the American Godzilla.
I'm contrasting. And this is made by Toho.
Right.
We were the Japanese ones. And,
the original.
Yeah. Pick this one. Because, like Godzilla. He's pretty cool. I mean, yeah. So.
Well, so why don't you give us a quick overview of the movie? So,
yeah, it's basically another reboot. They've done this, like, a lot. Even in, like, the 80s and 90s. Because Godzilla OG came out in, like, 1952 or 1956 or some shit.
Back with the rubber suits.
This won't be. It's not the first reboot, but it's another modern reboot.
Probably won't be the last.
Probably won't be the last, but they have confirmed they're not going to make a sequel. But yeah, it is a specifically this continuity, which I'm glad for, because not everything needs to have a fucking sequel. I feel, but yeah, it's a modern day reboot, as written and directed by the man behind Evangelion. I don't know if you knew that, but.
I kind of wish they had an ending where they all just gave up and died.
I was convinced that he was going to do some bullshit at the end. I was holding my breath. I held my breath for the entire credits too. I'm like, oh god, no, don't do it. Come on, look, just let's just calm down.
He actually just had a regular ending, which is actually, I would say, a good way to end this movie.
So. Yeah, like all I could say is, God damn it, Hideaki Anno, you've done it again. You still got it, dude. fucking awesome. I'll just say it straight up the bat. I think this might be like my new favorite movie of all time. Like, straight up.
Really? You like it that much? Oh, wow.
I love this film. But anyway, reboot of Godzilla. New themes, new for a new age. So yeah, let's get into it. Shin Godzilla. Shin means I think true, which I think is probably a not so subtle. Like, this is a real new Godzilla.
This is the actual Godzilla.
This is the real Godzilla. I mean, I'm sure. They fucking started the brand, the characters. So if they're gonna make that claim,
if someone was going to claim it, it should be these guys. Right?
It should be them. It should be them. But anyway, yeah, let's get into themes and tones, what entails another modern reboot of Godzilla. And yeah, I think the most clear thing for this really is the failures that the bureaucracy of the Japanese government faced in the face of crisis, like their inability to get shit done, to put it as bluntly as possible. Because yeah, that kind of, I think what I like about this film is, with all of this politicians talking back and forth about permission to do whatever, I think that feels very real to me. Like
that's actually something I really appreciated in this movie, because how the government and the people reacted in this crisis, the Godzilla crisis, that is, it was very realistic. That, you know, although we're not people in Japan, I think that's the way their government reacted is a way that people outside of Japan can relate to and understand.
Yeah, just a general, like, how would actually a giant monster attack work in real life? Which is, if I think about it, is kind of the premise of Evangelion 2. I'm going to be making a lot of fucking comparisons.
There are giant monsters.
I will also, which is also known for being a bit more realistic approach versus the other super robot versus monster anime.
Dragon Tapa Gurren Lagann is the most realistic anime mecha of all time. And I
was
not...
also made. That was also made by Studio Gannix. I mean, I'll also say I'm super heavily biased because Evangelion. I don't know. It's been a while since I've watched it. No.
Oh man, disappointing. Just disappointing.
I mean, you haven't watched Evangelion, so I think we're on even ground.
No, you didn't. Because you didn't watch Gurren. You didn't watch Geass.
Okay, and you. Nah, I think it kind of equals both of them together, put together.
What is this shit? What is this shit?
It was my favorite anime growing up. When I was, it was like the first real anime I'm like, okay, I'm gonna watch. And I haven't watched. Series. I mean, it was like one of those things where it's like, you know, you kind of watch it like every week, maybe, but it's not, you know, beginning to end, you know, episode 1 to episode, you know, 26 plus the movie. And it's been years. I'd have to rewatch it. I'd love to do it for the podcast. Maybe this year we'll finally get Netflix. Onto it. It is on Netflix with a different
dub for some reason.
I think they changed some stuff. But I mean, so I'm super biased with this shit. I really love it. So yeah, themes and tones. As I said, you know, failures of bureaucracy, a more realistic approach, and yeah, because. You can't just have like one guy be like, okay, we're all gonna evacuate the city, and you know, we're gonna fire missiles at it. And, like, you need, there is a level of chain of command. Yeah, that goes through the political system, and I think it does show, like, you do need to have some sort of structure like that to not just have, you know, one dude with the nukes ready to go.
and also it provides. Like a stage of leadership, right? So it's not just multiple people. Because, you know, the old saying goes, is too many cooks in the kitchen. You don't want just chaos and people, the blind leading the blind, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and I really think this this quote here I put here kind of sums it up, where one of them is complaining, oh, there's so much red tape. You know, every action requires a meeting. As like the first 20 minutes is like basically nothing but meetings and hemming and hawing between various branches of government, the military, what to do. And then the guy just replies, well, that's the foundation of a democracy. Like, that's inherent to you know, the system, like, you know, like you said, be making sure everyone's okay with what we're doing. But that also can lead to a ineffectiveness, being too slow to act. Because as we saw, you know, I think maybe they could have maybe stopped Godzilla if he was still, you know, fish dude, you know, before he got super jacked. And, well, I guess he got big. Yeah, he got broken later on.
But I mean, I think the main character Yamaguchi also points this out in the beginning, right? When they go and visit the initial site of the destruction, he says, "We had 2 hours to respond," and he basically pointed out the failures of their meeting.
Yeah, and I think speaking of Yaguchi, the main character.
Oh, Yaguchi, my bad.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I looked it up. He is kind of seen as like the.
Outcast. Kind of
like a rebel, yeah, like a rebel within the government. Because at first he's told, I think it's a sea creature. Told completely, like, shut up, that's a joke.
It can't be on the land.
And no, then
that was a perfect directing moment, by the way. Like, they say, no, you have the prime minister addressing the public. No, this creature cannot travel on the land. And the first thing, right after that, is progresses to Godzilla running across the land and destroying buildings.
Yeah.
So that was just great timing.
Yeah, and even with the when he's like, oh yeah, we had 2 hours to mount an initial response, he's told, hey, you know, don't rock the boat, kind of like don't stir up the system, like what we're doing, like there's a complacency, I think, you know, with a lot of these with the elected officials, the politicians, how they're portrayed and how I think they are in real life, because there are really strong parallels. Like, I'm pretty sure this was like directly reference to the Fukushima nuclear disaster that happened in 2012, the result of the earthquakes in Japan and the failure of the government. And I guess it's not the first time that something like that's happened. If you remember Hurricane Katrina, Requiem in 4X by Spike Lee, which I know, you know, we laugh at, like, oh, like that's such a, like, a Requiem. But no, that was that happened here, you know, a lack of response from the government.
A slow responding government. So if anything, it's pointing out the flaws in democracy, even though there are benefits to be enjoyed within that system.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, that's what we said, the quote you picked out, you know, when man is scarier than Godzilla. I forget when she says that character, she says that line, but I think
she says it when the UN unanimously agrees to blow up Japan.
Oh, well, yeah, that's also. Huh.
We'll get to that theme soon.
Yeah, but also I think it also applies to the tangled web of I think for me the
dichotomy of man.
No, I didn't write that down. Although I think I guess I could shoehorn in. Yeah, he represents. Oh, whatever. I'll get to it later. But yeah. For man being more scary than Godzilla, it's like, yeah, we've just created a mess of, like, shared, like, shouldering responsibilities onto other people. Because I remember even in the early, before Godzilla became, like, a big threat, he's like, oh, how many were there any casualties yet? If not, just let the lower, you know, before when it was just, like, a leak springing in, like, a tunnel. Passing the buck on whose responsibility this really is, and not really taking the decisive action that it takes to lead people through crisis. So, yeah. All right. I think I've done a good job doing that point, and maybe we'll get into this other one I have, because this
go on to there, I do want to point out for the Yaguchi plan, the team, there's a quote that, you know, when they frame it as who they are, it's, we're a crack team of lone wolves, nerds, troublemakers, outcasts, academics, and general pains in bureaucracy. So it shows that they're a ragtag group of misfits, really. Mm-hmm. And it matches the main character as far as Yaguchi.
Yeah, he definitely embodies rebellion against the existing structure. And yeah, he's straight up says, like, this is a flat structure, like, there's no, forget about seniority, forget about, oh, are you allowed rank to say this, just come here and let's get shit done,
because you don't want to die from this giant lizard or fish lizard.
Life
comes from the sea.
I mean, yeah. Anyway, speaking of evolving, kind of.
Shinka.
The Shinka, Godzilla no Choshinka. Or what do they say when Dai
Shinka?
Is it Dai?
I don't know.
What's it called? But then in Japanese it's called Ultimate. The final, which is here, it's Mega.
I don't know, man.
It's so confusing. Whatever. Yeah.
You Godzilla's... act as if I have enough of an acting knowledge of the Japanese language.
I mean, at least in terms of Japanese Digimon, I haven't watched as much as I think you have.
Mm, fair enough.
Because then you finish up. Whatever. We're not talking about the Zuchenko Godzilla.
I did watch Savers.
You did watch
and
Savers?
I did watch Cross Wars.
Cross
Wars. I saw the second, the follow-up to Cross Wars. Oh, shit, dude. Yeah, that's a lot.
But talking about the original Digimon. No, Godzilla started out as the original version, like an allegory for the horrors of nuclear warfare, and directly as a result of like the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings at the end of World War II. And I think this one, like as we said, the main message to me is like, yeah, the lack of response from governments, as opposed to just nuclear warfare. I mean, even it's still part of the Godzilla lore. Like he's still like a living nuclear reactor, and hell, even the fucking America's like, hey, let's bomb you guys. You guys mind if we drop another one?
Well, I mean, I thought what I really enjoyed in this movie was aside from a lot of other aspects, what I enjoyed is the international component of it, right? Because although this movie is focused on Japan and takes place in Japan, they show the interests of the other countries and how it relates. Like, for example, the U.S., or rather, I can't remember if it was directly said or implied, but they said that the U.S. was interested in the energy potential that Godzilla proposed, right? So that's why they were so fast responding. And you know, part of the reason why they got France to stall the UN meeting of dropping the damn nuke is because the prime minister went to negotiate, and also they leveraged the whole nuclear material possibility from Godzilla. So I really appreciated how it showed that the other countries are still involved in this possible global crisis.
Yeah, I definitely think compared to the original film, because that's post-war Japan, like 10 years after, or not even 10 years, I think, after World War II. So they're probably, you know, not as open. Like, that's definitely not as globalized 50 years ago. Or 60 now? 50s to 2020? Oh, geez. Okay, yeah, 60 years, especially with, like, the internet today. I guess it came out in 2016. But yeah, point still stands. Like, the world's a much more globally connected place, yeah.
I said, I think that speaks more to the realism of the movie, right? Mm. Because, let's say some weird monster attack did happen in a country. If it was possible to spread to other countries, like, it would make sense that the whole globe would be somewhat involved in the issue.
Yeah, and I think that even after his first attack, there's a little line that said, oh, you know, countries are already giving their condolences and prayers to Japan already, and stuff.
Okay,
like
do
that.
You remember the scene when it was like Godzilla is God? Like, there was shouting
yes.
that.
Stuff. Like there already is like a fucking
already
Save
a
Godzilla
cult
coalition.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. It was a funny joke.
Yeah, because it's a funny joke, and I also I could see it happening. You know, because I think that was also
crazy.
No, that was also a. A component of the original Godzilla, like, do we just kill it, or, you know, should we study it, try to keep him alive? And obviously it gets to the point where like, okay, no, we gotta
that is true. They did have that debate of should we just try to run him off, should we exterminate it, but when he finally started destroying or running through the cities, they're like, yeah, we gotta kill this motherfucker,
you know. And even though that was the motive, like, oh, you can
final what's the name of the uncensored guy?
Uncensored guy.
Z Gangster and the WCW pay-per-view. It was Z Gangster and
God damn it.
Ultimate Solution, not Final. There you go.
Fuck.
I remember
damn it.
It was the Ultimate Solution to exterminate Godzilla.
I mean ultimately, even I think I have it here, they don't kill him. Oh, they don't kill him.
That was a terrible transition.
I didn't mean to do it. I just that's just a word. Because the original Godzilla was straight up murdered. Word. It is a word, yeah. The first just one was straight up murdered. Solution. It's just two words put together. Like, what's, I don't get, what's the commotion here? Why are you guys upset? Who said, who was it like?
Why are you booing me? I'm right.
But the first Godzilla was straight up murdered by basically a giant bomb, like an equivalent bomb called the Oxygen Destroyer that literally disintegrates the oxygen molecules or atoms in Godzilla, making him, you know,
asphyxiate.
There you go. You know, it's kind of like that movie ended with, you know, the product of a super weapon, a weapon of mass destruction, being ended by another weapon of mass destruction. Although that did end with the guy who made the weapon, like, killing himself so no one else could reproduce it. So there's still, like, you know, a desire to not bring about as much nuclear warfare. And here, the freezing plan, which they have done before, freezing Godzilla is like a nuclear reactor. Like he's like Yaguchi says at the end, like, we need to, like, he's still there, you know, he's not gonna go away. We haven't solved the Godzilla problem yet, and we're gonna have to find a way to coexist with him as opposed to just destroying him,
you know, because that went so well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe this one will stop wanting to murder Japan. I don't know. Actually, I kind of like how he doesn't really have a goal. He's just
a force of nature. For a lot of it, he's just for the first half of the movie, he's just moving through Japan. I don't even know if he's necessarily even destroying the places he's going to. He's literally just like, it's kind of like if you were running through a field, you don't think about the insects that you're stomping or so on and so forth, or the leaves that you break. That's kind of what I felt like the vibe that was given off in the first half. Yeah. Until he got missiles dropped on him, and then
and he's like, okay.
And then the opera music started playing. I was like, oh, this is the fucking, this is the turning point of the movie. This is the shit right here.
I think for me, that his lack of a real clear motive kind of plays into he's a natural disaster or unnatural disaster.
Yeah,
the unnatural disasters, which I'm pretty sure that sounds like a good tag team name. I'm sure
that was a tag team.
But yeah, no, I think the way that this film contrasts with the first one, really interesting. It says a lot about how maybe Japan and society as a whole has changed over the years.
So actually, I was a little confused on. So what was the significance of Maki's research?
Okay, so yeah, he was the guy who, like, you know, discovered Godzilla, right?
Right. Okay,
and they basically needed to. Like, understand exactly what Godzilla's biological molecular structure was.
I think in order to make the coagulation plan.
Yeah.
Work, right. Yeah. Okay. That's what I was thinking, but I wasn't quite sure. Cause then they started folding his plan. I was like, okay, I'm a little lost what we're doing here, but.
Okay. Yeah. You were talking about, but this one you got right here, needs of the many versus the needs of the few.
I feel like this is a prevalent theme whenever speaking on, like, sorts of media where they have survival as a context. And you could say the needs of the many was the rest of the world versus the few in Japan. And also, even on a micro level, remember when they were about to first destroy Godzilla when he was in fish mode or first form or whatever, they ended up not firing because they still saw some stragglers about. And maybe if they just blew him up, they could kind of justify, hey, we need to take the shot. But it showed that the lives of the few, the stragglers, were important. And even on a bigger scale, the lives of the Japanese people were important to let the blood coagulation plan, go off, as opposed to just straight up going to the thermonuclear option.
Yeah, I think specifically with that scene, because it would be a bad look if civilians did get injured in that the crossfire of that first encounter with Godzilla, But and I think you could, I think even they would argue like the destruction that Godzilla wrought, like, you know, when he came back, like if you could have stopped him there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is the kind of, you know, moral.
But that's all, like, it's all conjecture, question. Right? But then it's questionable and people could get into it, right? Like they could believe that.
I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, that's even to say if the missiles would have killed him in that early state though. Because they didn't exactly prove effective later on.
I mean, they've shown, especially I think how Godzilla has evolved in the movie, not just as a character, but shown that, like, I'm assuming he was a lot weaker in his fish state as Fishzilla. So I think they could have maybe done it. Like once they got armored up, I think it was 70%. I take that if you want me to put a number on it.
Okay, okay.
Based on nothing.
your extensive biology research on the on the physical structure of Godzilla.
I guess I did, adding to the realism, I did like how they delved into that. You know, like, oh, he's a fucking extremophile organism that, like how, like, he's not just, oh, he feeds off radiation. Like, no, getting into, like, oh, he converts, like, radioactive isotopes into
and the details and such. They even had the little part about it, how is the half-life of the Godzilla isotopes is much shorter than a lot of other radiation, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was cool how they... He didn't give it a really depressing ending, which is nice.
Yeah.
And then the last theme I kind of want to touch on is the resilience of man, specifically Japan. And I think this is embodied in the quote from Yaguchi when he says... Or rather, I can't remember his name, but he's speaking to Yaguchi and he says, "This country rose up through scrap and build. It'll be done again." And this is said after the Godzilla incident and in his, I guess, his final form, at least in this movie, in the final form of Godzilla when he rampages through the city. But they show that man does rise up again and they're able to find a way. And also that's also shown by how the blood coagulation plan went off. Because at first it seemed kind of hopeless that they were all just going to get blown up and die, right? But they were able to come back and save the day.
Yeah, and I think that's not just that, but I remember specifically, I think it's before the big attack, well, when he goes nuclear before he returns, and you just see the what do I call them, the Godzilla team. That's, I think they got like a big name, the giant unknown creature manager, some shit like that. And it shows like them working like super overtime, like
Yaguchi's not showering and his
fucking shirt smells like shit. I think really getting into the Japanese work ethic, which is, you know, well known, like they fucking do it. They work themselves, you know, sometimes to death, because
they grind themselves into the dust, that's for sure.
You know, and I mean, at least I think it's justified here, at least, because, you know, this is a crisis.
It's a matter of life or death.
You know, so I think it really got over. Yeah, the resiliency of the Japanese people. Yeah, because even ultimately, because I especially also, like, maybe we'll get into characters here or later on, but how the new prime minister dude was stepped down at the end to allow people to properly elect a new one, as opposed to just being appointed.
Reign of Terror.
You know, because fucking the other guy, like, all of his aides died. Oh man, that
up in a helicopter.
That one, like, oh shit. Oh, like that one. Shit,
they killed the Paragon PM. Shit.
Okay, let's get into tone then. Get into some tone, some oh shit moments. You know, I think in the building, it starts off a little mysterious, little like, oh, what's going on here?
That's the great thing about monster movies, right, is that it slowly builds that tension over time until, and even when they reveal Godzilla, it's not even like at the peak of its tension, because it's Fishzilla, right? And he's slow moving. And even after he evolves from Fishzilla, he's still pretty slow moving. And maybe the tone is like a somber roll almost. Until it gets to the part when the U.S. drops the missiles, and then that's when the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, I think it's like once he comes back in the fourth form. I guess that's the fourth form. And you hear the music. You hear the song of him marching onto Japan. It's like, okay, here's This shit's gonna go
it's
down.
It's a Godzilla attack.
Godzilla attack, and the military's finally authorized use of weapons. Oh, let's go.
Of excessive or necessary force, rather.
And I think it's like a good thriller. I think would be a thrilling, a sense of danger. You know, I'm not gonna lie. This is like the only Godzilla film that I've watched. And I'm like, oh, he fucking scares the shit out of me. I'm scared of Godzilla in this movie.
Well, I think that's kind of lent to the character design, right? Because rather than trying to look cool, it's more like it's a horrific monster from the sea is what I would say this Godzilla looks like.
Yeah, so like definitely like the overall tone, you know, like disturbing, like he looks creepy, you know, sense of dread. Like, yeah, especially like that especially scene at night.
Blown up. Oh
yeah, that God. Scene at night, like all of it is just like, I fucking clapped. And like, I almost.
You're like, oh, everyone dies. Yes. God bless. What I wanted.
It's like a mixture of like just being in awe of this force. And yeah, also like, oh, this looks so awesome.
It does look awesome.
Tokyo on fire. You did. Anno, you did it again. Congratulations.
What is this shit, Akira? God damn. Actually, since we're talking about that scene was set up so perfectly with all the lights being shut off, so it's Tokyo and dark. And the only source of light, as you see, is either the missiles exploding, the fires Godzilla started, or the energy beam, rather, that he's able to exude. Especially so when he does the light show and he shoots it out of his back at the helicopters.
Yeah,
I think that
was...
And what made it is the music, too.
Yeah.
Right. And then all the characters' reactions just staring at him. That scene was perfectly placed, I would say. I don't think it could have been done any better.
It's probably, my favorite part of the film, it's getting into characters and arcs, though, I think.
Before you go on to that, I do want to say, although a lot of the tone is serious and dramatic, I think there are lighter moments in this movie, which I appreciate, because if you get too much of one thing, it becomes overbearing, right? And I think those moments where the tone is more of a let me up, for example, like I mentioned earlier, is when they do the crack team of lone wolves and nerds and such, but the camera cut angles are much different. It's almost like akin to a sitcom type of feel, right? Or
Or
like a comedy cut. And there was another scene sequence that was like that. I think it was when they were making the coagulation serum. It had similar tones to that. And then obviously at the end, it's a more uplifting tone because they resolved the Godzilla crisis for the moment, at least.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so. Okay. But yeah, getting into characters and arcs. I guess no, they get through some arcs. Japan as a whole, the Japanese people.
Godzilla really developed in the sense that he became a statue.
I mean, yeah, he went from being
giant fish.
Yeah. To actually, maybe I should put a. Yeah, we can talk about Godzilla. Maybe we'll start off with him. I don't know. I guess he is the main character, so maybe we should save him.
Well, I mean, like, I will here. Let's just get it out of the way in the sense that obviously there's not an emotional development for Godzilla aside from, hey, I'm fucking pissed that these fuckers dropped explosives on me, so I'm just gonna blast them with my lasers, and that backfires when he gets frozen. But yeah, that's about it. He just acts like a wild animal, which is what he is.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate. You know, some Godzillas, you know, do emote, like they have they're a little smarter. You know, they do more than just stomp around, and I can just appreciate one that's just like, no, I'm just gonna move forward.
Oh yeah,
I'm just gonna move forward, and you know, if you could stop, just try to stop me. You know,
no, honestly, yeah, I think that does show the progression, because he was just walking, he was just moving around essentially in the beginning until he was attacked. So he didn't really show the extent of his ferocity until he had to defend himself. Although he was in. He was disrupting the lives of many people, but I don't think he has the morality or sense of heart to care about that.
This ain't no Defender of Earth Godzilla like he is sometimes. This is just
like he is in America.
I mean, it's not. It happened in Japan too. Like,
I'm sure.
No, yeah, plenty of movies where he's still a hero.
Shin Godzilla got some thick hips, man. It's fucking
small. It got the T-Rex arms.
Yeah, he's got the shitty little arms too. Oh man, I think the most terrifying part for me is how the mouth opens, because it wasn't like the try. Yeah. Kind of like the alien mouth almost. And then his what the fuck was up with his tail? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think so. Before, when it was a rubber suit, obviously the guy in the suit couldn't move the tail, so they would have like someone else like moving the tail around, and you gotta animate the tail. And also, it's kind of like Godzilla's never really evolved into like the proper way like T-Rex like dinosaurs actually moved, because they don't move like that. They move like how the 1998 Godzilla did, aka like they're more upright, like horizontal, you know what I mean, right? Their tail's not on the ground, it's like straight ahead,
right?
But back then they just like, oh, we're just moving around, and this guy just kind of takes that and turns it up to 11. He's like, yep, my tail's so I think actually the tail compared to other Godzillas is like longer.
Yeah, no, it was like aggressively longer.
Aggressively longer.
I don't think I quite understood like the final scene when they're doing a shot of the tail. It looked like there were creatures on it.
Yeah, I think it's implying he was in the process of like creating like little mini human Godzilla hybrids, I think. They were about to start hatching out.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, because in the movie they were saying like, oh, he could also reproduce asexually, which is horrifying.
Yeah, no,
so I
yeah.
guess that's kind of showing the looming threat that Godzilla still exists
and coexist with
Godzilla, right?
And I also like to think like the alternative of like if he did get nuked, like maybe these little things would have survived.
Oh,
man. Yeah. And like these little things would have survived and wrecked havoc.
Killed everyone still.
Yeah.
Dude, the tail laser. Oh yeah, my god.
So I think for me, like I think it was the spine lasers that got me. Like, cause you don't expect that one.
Because
also the range, because like they're just going everywhere. They're just like he can kind of aim them, but
it's gumu no Gatling gun.
Oh yeah.
Until Galoofy actually learns how to direct it after tutelage from Rayleigh.
Yeah.
But before it was just random bullshit.
Yeah. And talking about these other characters, I mean, I guess they're there. Yeah, I remember watching at least the first American Godzilla, the 2014 one, and thinking like, oh god, I don't give a shit about these human characters. I think it was like a plot about like Bryan Cranston was in it, right, or something.
Oh man, it's like
his son.
Oh man, the bullshit.
Like I honestly prefer this. I would rather have like a more macro view of like Japanese society or people or society in general and how they deal with the attack as society versus like a heart to heart. Like I'm kind of glad that they didn't get too. Well,
I'll tell you this: the fucking human aspect of King of Monsters was bullshit. Because I just wanted that lady to die.
I don't remember anything about that movie other than he fucked Ghidorah. And Rodan was there.
I will say there was a cool scene when the not so evil scientist lady was like, all hail the king, right before she gets squished by King Ghidorah, but she was actually referencing Godzilla in nuclear form, which is honestly kind of cool, but I digress.
Yeah, so I think they're just kind of there to represent society as a whole. And yeah, I always say, yeah, like Iguchi representing like a new wave of a thing. What did you think about the supposedly American?
Man, that was such bullshit, bro. Fuck you, America. At least I have someone that looks like maybe they're half white, yeah, right?
No, like, I think she's supposed to, though. She mentions it's her grandmother is Japanese, so she's not like, even like half.
Shut the fuck up, your parents are Japanese. Shut the fuck up with that. And also like her bullshit English is like, come on, man, you are not driving home to me that English is your main language. American representative. Like, get the fuck saying like what's it called? Exactly.
Oh yeah, it's all like
that.
It's all like, it's like me trying to use Japanese, like, oh, I, you know, a couple phrases. Sonoto.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if we were talking English perfectly, and then every other sentence, I would say like "chotto mate" or some shit like that, yeah, you know? Like,
"Chotto, wait a minute." Chotto, have you seen any of that? It's like,
that was the first
"samimasari." "Samimasari," you like that one? "Gomenasari."
Oh my fucking god, it's horrid.
"Yamate kuda stop." I got a couple more. Okay, whatever. I won't. Yeah, I think her performance was kind of not really believable. As
I think when she was speaking Japanese, it was fine.
Yeah, because she's Japanese. Yeah, because
she's actually
Japanese.
Get the fuck out of here, your grandmother. You mean your fucking mother? Stop implying that you're only like a quarter Japanese. You don't even look like a lick of white people. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
I think her name was. They gave her an American name too. I'm trying to find it.
I think they gave her I know her last name was like American. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, but I think her first name was like Lee Anthem Cast. Kayoko Ann Patterson.
Patterson. So
her first name is Kayoko, which is a Japanese name, and Patterson, because yeah, she's the senator's daughter or whatever.
I don't know. She was some sort of representative, but. No, okay, so
yeah.
I would say for Yaguchi, I think he was vindicated in his initial feeling that we can't move slowly with red tape. We must take action. And I think that becomes fully realized when his plan with the coagulation comes together and does save Japan. So I think that was his quote unquote journey there. And as far as what's her name? Patterson?
Kayoko. We can call her just call her Patterson.
I think I'm gonna go with Patterson because when they reference her in the movie, that's what they were using
their last names as they do in Japan.
She wanted to be the first female president.
Sure, I guess she's competent. Yeah, she did stuff.
She's competent. No, but her journey relates more to the needs of the few versus the needs of the many, because she was told to evacuate because they were gonna, you know, nuke Japan in an effort to destroy Godzilla, but she ended up staying and helping out with the coagulation plan, therefore saving her quote-unquote homeland in the sense that she hasn't been home, even though she looks 100% Japanese and not even a little bit European or American, but...
Whatever. No, but I thought that was a really nice moment, though, where she, you know, I don't want to see a third bomb drop, like, you know, even if she isn't, like... supposed to be from Japan, she still feels a connection to that, which I think
I've never seen such bullshit before.
Which maybe that's why I prefer the, like, this kind of human drama versus like what it was in the American one, just because I know Godzilla and specifically nuclear warfare has with like the connection that not the. I mean, she was hot, I guess. I see her views and like, yeah, she's really attractive, but God, she's awful.
Oh man, that Ingo. Anything that wasn't, you know, the moment when she decides that she's on board with supporting the coagulation plan and, disregarding the quote unquote mud that would be on her name to quote unquote stop her from becoming president because the needs of the few are so important. I think what kind of ruined it for me is when it's like, I think Yaguchi tries to speak English and he says something to the effect of, oh, some of us may not come back in one piece. And then she says something and I completely did not understand what she said. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I forget what she said. I don't forget what she says, but I do remember he tried to speak in English to her. Anyway, enough about characters and arcs, I think.
No, enough about characters trying to speak English.
Yeah.
Hey man, you know what? You know what? You know, I'm sure if I tried to speak Japanese, it'd be the shits too. So we're all at equal playing fields there.
Konnichiwa, otashi no namae e wa Joshua Ofiana-san da. No, would you say son? No, you wouldn't call yourself son. Fuck. I'm trying to do my jiko shokai, my self introduction.
What else do you say? What else do you introduce?
You can say a couple things like, oh, watashi no,
I like hentai.
Niju go-san. No, go-sai. That's how you say your age. So, niju go-sai, 25 years old. And I remember we would say our major, or in what year we were in college. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, the year I took of Japanese is, like, literally the hardest class I ever fucking took. Japanese, I'm sure, like, most language, like, any language, to be fair, any language is hard.
You only went to uni for, like, a year, though.
It was, so, but it was a tough year.
It's kind of contained within itself.
But it was a hard fucking year. Like, God damn.
Like, this is the hardest class of my life. Even though it was the only class.
What?
Not only class, but what's it called?
Yeah, I took 2 years, and then I took two more years here at a college.
Was it 2 years? Oh, yeah, you did two. Never mind.
Yeah.
I don't know why. One out of two.
And then I did two more CSN here. So
Fair enough.
Yeah,
But no, I don't think there's really emotional or character development arcs really to follow in this sort of movie. And that's, you know, honestly, that's fine. It's more about the human response that occurs during these monster attacks. So I don't think there's much more to cover here.
Yeah. Let's get into the notable moments, even though we did talk about, like, at least my favorite moment. That's the first one I got here. Oh, actually, yeah, you got any questions?
No, you know, honestly, I think maybe it's because I was trying to keep up with the movie, mm-hmm. but I don't think there was any glaring plot hole questions for me to have. The only thing I could think of was, why didn't they assault Godzilla while he was in sleep mode? But obviously, A, they were planning their coagulation. They were last second planning that coagulation thing, and then B, they didn't want to drop the nuke because they gave them the 2 week grace to dissipate, so on and so forth. So no, there's not really any sort of plot hole questions that I'd like to point out here.
Okay, so yeah, the first one I got here is basically like the whole sequence of the first time he comes back as his proper Sheen Godzilla, with the music coming in. Yeah, he's a true one.
Real even Godzilla.
Though, even though he does look probably more different than the American one does. Like, the American one does look pretty. He looks fine. I like him. He's not bad.
When I see the American Godzilla, it kind of makes me think of a giant alligator.
Yeah.
Mixed with
he's like
T-Rex,
bulky.
Right?
He's like when big
I see,
and bulky.
When I see this Godzilla, I think more of like it's a fucking reptile fish monster.
Yeah, more of an amalgamation. Or I guess Godzilla, anyway, is an amalgamation of different things. And I think the roar, the iconic roar is like a whale.
Based on a cat,
it's like a whale plus like a gorilla. Or... Actually, no, that's where Gojira comes from, I think. Maybe. Because gorilla and Kujira is the word for whale.
Mm.
Although, actually, I think it might be something else. That might be.
I thought it was based on a cat.
A cat noise? Maybe.
Yeah.
It's a combination of different shit. Or am I thinking of the T-Rex roar in Jurassic Park? I don't know. It's some weird shit. But yeah. Notable moments. Yeah, when he does the first iconic roar too, I can include that. And yeah, the whole scene at night with the atomic breath. Like, I really love how, like, he needs to, like, start it up. Like, at first it's, like, smoke, and all the smoke is billowing out from his mouth. Before it turns into flame, before it turns into the giant purple death laser. Very, which I think is a cool variations, like more focused, you know. And you get, you know, and of course, so you can get the shot of like the laser sweeping across buildings and them cutting in half. You know, the
destroying the Paragon Prime Minister's helicopter. Godzilla's original 1950 roar was created by composer Akira Ifukube, who dragged a resin-coated leather glove across the loosened strings of a double bass.
Oh, so I'm thinking of the T-Rex one then. That I think that one's like a mix of different animals. But yeah, look at that. Yeah, we got the Godzilla's God Riots, which, you know, it's kind of funny. It's like, because obviously it's a living creature. Some people are going to be like, hey, you can't kill it.
It's like, okay, we'll see how that goes when he stops.
I mean, normally, most animals, you know, aren't man killers. Like, they're just doing their thing. They're just, you know, they happen to.
Yeah, the day a giant tiger, you know, runs through Las Vegas, I'll see how I feel about animals' rights.
I mean, yeah, well, if it gets into that, what is that? That sound. Oh, whatever. I won't bring attention to it. Anyway. Dan, you made me think of Harambe again. Remember Harambe?
Yeah. Similar times.
You know, was that 2016? When was that?
You know, there was no COVID when Harambe was alive.
There wasn't COVID when this happened. There wasn't COVID when a lot of things happened.
What year did this movie come out? 2018 or 2019?
16, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, the scene where they're working themselves with the bone, Japanese work ethic. Oh, and I actually really like the point of when Maki, you know, he left them, he told them to do what they want, but then I think it's Kayoko or Patterson when she's like, that's hard to do in Japan, which I think was poignant because, yeah, I think culturally, like, Japanese people are kind of more, you know, like, I think that it's safe to say they're more rigid in terms of, like, what they're free respectful. To do. There's more, yeah, more respectful. It's less. It's more hard for them to like express themselves versus like us Americans or all or whatever. So I thought that
my opinion alone matters.
So I thought that was a very poignant moment. Not just like, you know, politically, it's hard to do what you want, but also, you know, just in general in Japanese society. So, you got any more notable moments?
Not a notable moment, but more a detail. I do like when the Prime Minister was addressing everyone. They did have a little sign language person on the the screen on the side. Just really speaks to the realism of the movie.
Yeah,
and I thought the name of the Operation Yoshiori. Yeah. I thought that was a very appropriate name because what was the origin of it? It was like the sake that poisoned the hydra.
It's Yamato no Orochi. I want to say, pretty sure, that they used to put him to sleep. I think something like that. But basically, what they did accomplish here, the Yamato no Orochi, the big snake dude. You know about him?
The persona summon.
Yes, the persona.
and then you know, obviously, I know we mentioned it earlier, but I just really. Need to say, like, the moments when Godzilla's attacking and they have the music in the backdrop for it, like the bombastic opera music or whatever they use in the final scene and as opposed to Tokyo After Dark, like, I thought those were visually stunning moments for me. They were just well placed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, also I have it written down here. There are a couple shots of, like, social media in this film, and I'm pretty sure I saw one where there was someone who had an avatar of Asuka from Evangelion. So there you go, getting the shit in.
Yeah, get your shit in. Nah, I will say about those moments, I think what made them more so, aside from what made them greater, more so than the spectacle itself, was the build-up for them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for the first half of the movie, Godzilla's fairly stagnant. He's maybe even stiff moving, but when it gets to the part when he gets his shit in, like, he really gets his shit and blows everything up with and oh my god, the fucking back lasers. I think that's what really really made it. Fuck, dude.
Didn't expect it. Yeah, because you think, oh, you know, he only has one.
It only comes out of his mouth, right? That's the expectation.
He's got 30, and the stealth bombers weren't expecting him. They just got
Man, they got GG. GG no re. GG.
Maybe I should. No, I guess I'll say it here. I remember, like, during that scene, because I don't think we haven't splooged about it enough. I really, you know how, and they were doing it the whole movie where they flash a little subtitle of like who this person is or the title or where. And I thought when doing it during that scene, like, what, like, oh, this is this famous part of Tokyo that's now on fire, that's now gone, that's now decimated. Like, I thought that was very, like, I felt it was a very powerful thing. Like, you know, seeing such famous scenery, I'm assuming if you're Japanese, known locations, you know, like this is what, it, you know, it's, ah, yeah, no, it's like, ugh, god damn, that's gotta clap. I just gotta clap.
There is one scene I want to point out. I think Godzilla was destroying, or rather, they were destroying the buildings to collapse onto Godzilla, mm-hmm. and they show like an office floor.
Yeah.
A suite, like falling over, and that was a CG. That was, at least as far as I could tell.
I think that was real. No, because I think a bit before them, like, oh look, they have miniatures for like the buildings, and I saw that scene. I'm like, okay, I don't think that's a miniature.
Oh yeah, no, I'm really curious as to how. What was the logistics behind that shot? Because that was a really impressive moment that just stood out to me.
Yeah. I'm guessing they had to build a set for it and tilts up and stuff.
Maybe.
I'm sure there's behind the scenes footage. Possibly.
Behind the scenes footage of director trying to coach Patterson to speak English. But the director's English is no better than anyone else's.
Because he's also Japanese.
I was kind of wondering, like, I know they're talking about the US and France, but I'm just thinking, like, where are the white people in this movie then? And then lo and behold, they show up, and then when they leave, they're talking about, hey, we should use the nuclear option, essentially. Like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's like, oh, Japan's too slow to evacuate 3.6 million people in 2 weeks. We could do it, but they can't.
Oh, and actually, I thought an interesting angle that was shown by some of the SDF, the Special Defense Force, one of the guys was like, we can't make Japan look weak to other countries as far as response. And I thought that just goes to show like the multiple ideologies and psychologies going into like these big democracy bureaucracy meetings, right? And it's like, what are their motivations? Like, normally you'd think most people would just focus on, hey, we need to fucking get people out and survive, but no, we had to also, important or not, we had to also focus on our image as opposed to other nations.
Yeah, and I think that kind of plays into them, like, initially thing, okay, USA, like, I guess we'll let you drop a nuke, and them kind of going forward, like, okay, we'll let you try your freezing plan, because, fuck, we really want that to work and not have to resort to, you know, the other option, so...
Man, the fucking Paragon Prime Minister said he doesn't want to abandon his people. Oh, and then he has to go abandon his people, and it ends up getting murdered.
I really do think that moment really did kill me, though. Like, oh, fuck. No, because I was actually going to think maybe like one of these higher ups would like commit suicide because they felt guilty about like letting, like they felt responsible.
He didn't want to get to the Evangelion levels of...
Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah.
Did anyone kill themselves? I don't know if they did. I really should rewatch it. We really should do that. All right. But yeah.
Anything else in notable moments?
I think we're ready to go into key directing. And actually, this is like one of the first movies I can really remember. At least the last one I can remember, or having to read subtitles.
Huh? It's because I was reading it. It says lots of talking bits. I was like, oh, Star Wars 1. Lots of talking bits in that movie, too.
Is that true? I've kept myself away from a lot of the Star Wars prequels just because they kind of have a reputation now. Maybe we should do one. Are they that bad? I don't know. I don't know if they're that bad.
It's been a minute since I've seen them, so I can't fairly say.
Well, I can't say.
Yet.
Check us out next week, folks, when we covered Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. But I have this about kind of going into this first bit where me trying to, I kind of felt a little maybe like rushed with the way, like how fast I feel the pacing of the first act with all the government, you know, all the politicians talking to each other. It was going pretty fast, like despite at the end of the day being very dry conversations about what do we do. I think the pacing of it was kept up, like, and it was exciting because like, constant, like, not a lot of contemplation, like you just have people talking, moving around.
They have a lot of like the scenes cutting to who's talking. It's a fast paced directing as far as opposed to just one boardroom and a big shot of all of them talking. So I think that kind of helps with the pacing of that specific scene.
Yeah, I think changing locations too, like trying to show like the people from the near the Marine Bridge, and then get the military over here.
And okay, they show the back and forth of it too, right? Is yeah. like Godzilla will do something and instantly they're discussing it in that boardroom, so on and back and forth with it. Even further on when they're calling for the missile strikes, they say, oh, strike one was ineffective, and then eventually it builds up to the minister saying, use all necessary force.
Yeah. You're talking also... Interspersed with that is like shots of, you know, people either evacuating or dying. Doing other things, dying. Yeah, actually, I feel like you don't see that much of, like, there's not a lot of graphic violence, I'd say.
Yeah, it doesn't get too graphic with it, no.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of hard when, like, the destruction is this scale, you know, this large. Or it's like, you know,
I think they could have went that way and showing just the pure brutality of it.
Yeah, they could have. Yeah, I guess they could have. It's kind of like, how, you know, watching... I know it doesn't happen as much. You said the
Evangelion guy did this. I was kind of surprised they didn't.
I mean, Evangelion's not that... it doesn't go that hard in terms of, like, graphic content.
Jung was putting it over like it was. I just remember really? That. Yeah, he's like, oh, man, this show's so brutal.
I mean, I guess... Damn it. Oh, I'm calling it. Oh. I just don't like it. what? Are you laughing like that? Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, directing. Yeah, no, and also even before like all the shit goes down, and I remember in the early bits, you have like people on social media like taking photos or pictures, like, ooh, what's going on here? You know, that's before, you know, he shows up and starts murdering everything. Yeah, that was pretty cool. You get the aerial shots of Godzilla too, to get a sense of how big he is and the scope of his destruction. You know, as you
just like when they did the aerial shots at Halloween Havoc for the monster truck battle between Hogan and the Giant.
Have we reviewed? I don't think we reviewed it.
We haven't spotted on that specific Halloween Havoc. We just watched it together. To see that specific match. Where the giant gets thrown off the building and then comes back in that pay-per-view.
I was like, oh my god, like fucking Tony Schiavone is like Bobby, is he gonna be okay? What happened? Well, did we just watch someone die? Oh my god, we just watched like Hulk Hogan just like. Well, I guess he didn't mean to push him.
He tried to catch him, according to the video.
I guess he did, but so, like
when they bring it up to court, they could say Hogan tried to save the giant. But clearly the giant was too big. But then just fine to hug hump him in the middle of ring with the Yeti.
With the Yeti. Who later became Super Giant Ninja. Who later just became his...
That's actually a pretty cool callback. That's actually a pretty good callback. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know. Then he just became Ron Reese, a.k.a. his real name.
Oh, that's lame.
what a fall from grace.
Yeah, how are you gonna go from the Yeti to Super Giant Ninja to just Ron Reese? It's like John Cena. It's like John Cena going to his real name, right? Like John Cena's a wrestling name, right?
Or Randy Orton. These fuckers.
Yeah,
I guess. No, his real name's like. Nah, never mind. Not everyone uses a real name.
Steve Austin.
No, Steve Austin, actually, guys. Yeah, Steve Austin. I was thinking of some Steve of these Austin other guys. Is like...
now. It used to be, but I think his legitimate name was Steve Williams.
Oh, okay, I could believe that. Anyway, remember this one thing. I forget where, but they're talking about like an article about like some shit about whether or not they're authorized to use like weapons or justified. And like Article 76, and it's like it flashes on the screen to show like the exact piece of legislature to say like, oh shit, you know, are we allowed to do it? And, you know, getting caught in, you know, the fucking legal red tape, like, oh, are we allowed to take permission from what's written? I thought that was a good touch in terms of
shows, like we keep saying, a key part of this movie is the realism that is shown in how they would progress to defend themselves in a Godzilla attack.
Yeah. And I guess I also remember there was like a very notable moment to me. Maybe I shouldn't. but I guess it kind of ties into that, where I think it was like a firefighter who is trying to evacuate people, and like he's like saying, you know, we don't actually know, we haven't been told where to evacuate people yet, we don't know. And like, shit, man. Yes, yeah, that's rough.
Shit, fuck, bro.
You just tell people to, well, just
evacuate,
don't stay
there. I don't fucking know. Just leave.
I mean, yeah, it's probably better than there. So, yeah.
Right, okay. Let's get into the effects. So, tell me about the Godzilla design.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it. I'll say, yeah, my new favorite one, because he's just an abomination. He's an abomination. He's a monster. He's the king of monsters. You know, and like, I love that he has gills, and this giant, giant, like, fish eye, like, just...
Oh, you know, that the is, soulless. Like, horrid fish eye.
It's fucking, you know, big old deep-sea fangly fisher. Yeah, a frilled shark.
It looked like a cool monster, right? It was made just to show the abomination that he is.
Yeah, if you guys at home want to look up what a frilled shark looks like, I'll put it in there. I think that's
I
think that's pretty similar to what he looked like, I think, in that first form when he crawls up onto land.
Kinda.
You know.
I do want to say, they still have something that the director does is they still have a lot of mystery built around Godzilla, like as far as saying like he has a significantly denser genetic code than humans and. It kind of just builds the lore around it and makes it adds to the mysteriousness that's in the movie. And it kind of gives the sense that they'll never really truly be able to fully understand this creature. And also like how he could apparently reproduce asexually. He could grow wings maybe. and then he could mutate in any which way. So it kind of gives justification as to why he shinkas, right? So I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and definitely like the global threat of Godzilla. I think at one point he's like, maybe he could take over the world by assimilating, via his asexual reproduction. He's just spreading a bunch of things. Kind of flows into like the ending there, I think, of what we're supposed to go going for with the Godzilla-like skeletal people. Like he was ready. He was ready to unleash him.
You know? No, yeah, the mystery. I think that's one more tone we should have included earlier is just the mystery that this creature poses in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Anyway. Yeah. And then, going into the rest of his main look, you know, the jet black skin, that's all like armored up and got the red, his veins pulsing. And especially at the night scene, as we keep going on, it just looks really great.
No, but when he starts glowing, what is that, purple, violet, when he's gonna use his energy beams, I think that's what I think that's just visually stunning itself. And also the sound effect of the laser beam being shot off really puts that over.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think actually initially I was kind of thinking maybe the special effects weren't as good as I remember the American one.
Well, I think there were some stills where it kind of just looked like a plastic doll, right? Like, I thought that was there were some scenes when it did look like that, but when it was time to move, it was definitely time to move.
No, definitely had no complaints later on, especially once they set some explosions, and especially with his atomic breath, you know, with the concentrated beam of destruction, which I'm a fan of. Very Evangelion, very angel like because that's what the enemies in that show are called. They're called angels.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You got the big classic Godzilla roar. It works. I think, with the music too, like there's a mix of like new stuff and old stuff. And I think there's even an Evangelion song, like a strong stray. I didn't remember it, but it was like one of the battle soundtracks that they used up. It was from Evangelion. I think because they kind of remade Evangelion over four different movies, and the fourth one is still in production, I think.
Really?
And it started like 2000, last like before 2010, I think.
Well, have you spent what's a normal movie development time, like 2-3 years? So if there's four movies, that's a at least 8 to 12 years. So we started
the first one came out in 07.
Oh, so it should have came out last year, allegedly.
Evangelion 3.0+1.
What is with this fucking naming? Wait, so is that 4? Is that Evangelion 4? That's just 4.
I think so.
What a fucking
I assume
dick.
So. It's supposed to come out this year.
What a fucking dick.
Anyway. Any other effects that we got on? I think I mentioned
Talk about the music really quick. A lot of the tracks are memorable, especially when they reuse the retro theme of Godzilla. I thought that was an iconic moment when he's on his Reign of Terror.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember after his first attack, he got the little jazz interlude with all the news reporting the damage. Actually, yeah, that scene particularly too, I remember. It kind of has shots of like life trying to return to normal. Like you see people like going about as if like nothing really happened. I think they even mentioned that the stock exchange is still fine.
That's normal.
Shows what the priorities are, but yeah, no, I think that was a very powerful or important moment too, because like,
what does Goldblum say? A life finds a way.
Life did find a way.
The stock exchange finds a way, except for when Reddit decides not to. I guess I don't know.
I don't know what's going on. There's something about something. But anyway, I think what the fuck's wrong? Whatever. Sorry, anyway. Yeah, you were. Anyway, I think maybe it's time to wrap it up, give some closing thoughts. Well, I feel like I've been pretty open about how much I love this movie, so
I think Godzilla's better. Fuck this dude, weird fish motherfucker. Maybe you should do some fucking push-ups and get some bigger arms. I don't know.
Did you like read like a review for that? Because I feel like I've seen that review of it.
I'm offended that you didn't think I could come up with that on my own. No, but I really enjoyed this movie. It was a good monster flick. At first, I thought the pacing was slow, but I think when they finally pay it off, as far as Godzilla going to attack mode, I thought that's when the movie really started getting interesting to me. I do like the aspects that it's not focused on like a family or some shit, and there's not some weird evil lady like there was in Godzilla, but then she's not so evil. But whatever, enough about that. There are some scenes when Godzilla does look kind of plastic, like a doll almost, but then when it's time for action, he's definitely it's a memorable moment. So now, as far as a question I wanted to pose here is, do you prefer the modern America editions of Godzilla, or do you prefer this Godzilla? I feel like I already know the answer, but
I mean, yeah, I straight up said this might be one of my favorite films of all time. I vastly prefer this one, which I didn't expect to, because I generally would think I would prefer him to fight like another monster. I guess my thinking is like, well, if I wanted to watch that, I'll just watch like Super Sentai if I want to watch monsters fight. You know, I think I really like where this one's going. Yeah, where it is just a hapless, like real people trying to deal with a very unnatural creature, unmovable force. I think that's very compelling in the way that it's able to change for the modern times, you know, the kind of problems that exist today versus what they were back in the 50s, I think. Is very compelling to me. So no, I think I fucking love this movie. Hard recommend. If I think you're not like a usual monster movie fan, like I think you can find some cool things about it.
Yeah, I think really what makes this movie is the realism behind it. Like how they had the bureaucracy in the beginning and they still have to deal with the red tape and how they go into the decision making. Some people might think that's boring, but I think that's it's a very realistic view on how it would go in a modern setting. And I think that's what I really appreciate about this movie. It's monster movie effects aside, I think that human aspect of it is really appreciated here.
Yeah. All right. So looks like It's another spud wrapped up.
Hey, folks.
Sheen Godzilla.
We're not a weekly podcast, but we pretend to be. Catch you on the next one.
See ya.
Bang.